Today's show is brought to you by Tim Rogers' book, Detours. The book is available in all good stores wherever you get your books. So get out prior to Christmas and buy a gift for yourself or someone else and make sure it's Detours by Tim Rogers. Now, Tim Rogers, of course, you know, he's the frontman and singer of the hugely popular rock and roll band UMI. He's shambolic, he's flamboyant, and he's a dapper Aussie flaneur, a seeker after truth, love and understanding. He is a contradiction, a hard-drinking rock star with the soul of a poet, a wordsmith, a raconteur, a romantic and a realist, a bon vivant and a loner. Detours is Tim's offbeat and immensely charming memoir where he reflects on everything from what it is to be a man to love, drinking, footy and fatherhood. Get out to your local bookstore and make sure you do not miss out on this amazing book. Robert Forster from The Go-Betweens has said about Detours, Tim is a beautiful writer. Tim Rogers takes you where you want to go. So do yourself a favour, grab a copy of Tim Rogers' Detours today. Do it. Backing out of the service station.
All right, yeah, we'll be in touch.
Welcome to The Debrief. It's Dave O'Neill here with my podcast, and I'm joined by Evan Hocking, ladies and gentlemen. Plus, in the back seat, Bradford Oakes.
Hello!
There he is. Brad's been on the podcast before, so he's only got a supporting role tonight. Whereas you, Evan, I have not had you on before.
No, I've listened to The Debrief, though. It's I like your work, mate.
I know, you kept emailing me and asking me to
come
on.
Yeah, I said, can you book me for a gig, so, and then pick me up.
All right.
Yeah, so thanks for having me, mate. I'm glad the 6 months of emails and constant phone calls paid off.
Look, you know what, the thing is, comics are just people, and we get flattered by the attention, let's be honest.
Yeah, I think the problem is I'm doing a lot of gigs that are sort of 4, 5, 6 hours away, and
I love those. I did Tooley Buck with you, which was Tooley Buck is beyond Swan Hill. So we live in Melbourne, and it was just like, oh my god, I got to Swan Hill and kept going. And the funny thing was, we got there, and they didn't really give a fuck.
No, they didn't really give a
they didn't
give
really
a shit,
care.
Did
we,
they?
We,
no.
we travelled for so long.
Yeah.
But anyway, we've just done the Bunjil Centre in Narre Warren.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Which is a theatre.
Classy.
That's very classy.
And it's unusual for us three guys to do theatres, let's be honest.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, when was the last time you did a theatre, Evan? Can you remember?
I did one in Port Douglas. But before that, it was grade 6 primary school.
That's right. You go up and do a little theatre in Port Douglas.
Yeah, the Clink Theatre.
It used to be
a jail.
Oh,
that's why it's
good.
Called the Clink.
Is it good?
Yeah, it's great. It's probably about 120 seats and couldn't fill it. No, I'm joking. filled it.
Mate, Oaksy, when was the last time you did a theatre?
It was 1542. Shakespeare, I opened As You Like It for Shakespeare.
I can't remember the last time I did a theatre.
Oh, Stratford.
Stratford upon Avon calling.
Yeah, which again is a courthouse.
Yeah, it's a courthouse.
Yeah, it's a courthouse.
Oh, yeah, Stratford. Mm. Yeah, you with me.
Up near Ballarat?
No, near Sale.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was close.
Anyway, the Bunjil Theatre, I don't know, they asked me to come out and put together a show. We went out, and the local people loved it.
Yeah, it was great.
It was good. It was really good. But I'm trying to remember the first time. Oh, Evan, how long have you been doing comedy?
A bit over 5 years.
Mate, you've done well.
Yeah, well, yeah. I dabbled with it about 10 years ago. I did a few open mics, and then... Yeah, not much else. Then moved, like I said, moved up to Port Douglas, and you know, it was a pool cleaner.
Were you really a pool cleaner?
I was a pool cleaner. I was living the dream. I grew a mustache. I got a perm.
Must have been shit gigs to move that far.
Yeah, yeah. How bad were the gigs in Melbourne?
Yeah, they were terrible.
Mm.
Yeah.
You're just about to run out of Australia up there.
Sea change. So I.
Is it true they say about pool cleaners? Do you get any offers from?
I'd like to say it was all true.
But it's not.
Nah, we sort of had this one lady. We walked in, me and my boss walked in. It's a holiday rental, so no one's meant to be there.
Yeah,
we walk in, and there was this lady in the pool. She was known around town. Her name was Roberta.
Roberta?
Yeah, probably still is. And she had a dog called Sparkles. Everyone knew the dog, and then she'd be like, "Oh, come on, Sparkles, come on, dude."
Sparkles.
So we've walked into this.
It's an old place.
We've walked into the. Yeah, she's about 70, and we've walked in, and she's in there. She goes, "Oh, sorry, guys, I was just giving Sparkles a bit of a bath," and she starts to stand up. I go, "Oh, I don't think she's got any clothes on here." She's full on Starkers.
Yeah.
She stands up. Well, she wasn't meant to be there. She's nude, and she. wasn't a care in the world to her. She just walked out.
So that's the closest experience you had to the classic porn.
The classic
pool cleaner.
Porn.
It was a 70-year-old homeless woman with a dog.
Well, she wasn't homeless. She lived down the road, right, and she used to water her lawn nude.
Ah, yeah. She was a naturalist.
Sparkles is no longer with us, I don't think.
What? Too much chlorine.
Too much chlorine. But then people said, oh, you've actually, you can water the lawn without your top on, but you've got to put bottoms on. That's just a bit too much.
They had a bit of a neighbourhood watch meeting, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah, it was a bit too much, but...
How long did you live in Port Douglas for?
It was 4 years.
Oh, that's a...
Yeah.
That was like your London, like...
It was the first time I moved out of home. I moved up there with my girlfriend at the time. That didn't work out.
Roberta.
Sparkles.
Your child.
Yeah, Sparkles. It ended badly. Four years.
We're going past the Hallam.
We're going past the Hallam Hotel.
Look out.
Oh, I've done gigs. Have you done gigs there, Brad? The Hallam?
Yeah.
I did a gig with... The Triple M did some gigs there when the Crud Boys were on air. And so I used to do regular spots, and Hughesy used to do regular spots. And so they advertised that I was going to be there, Hughesy was going to be there, but there was one night Hughesy couldn't make it. Yeah. And so the Crud Boys go and they bring me on. I think maybe Lawrence Mooney, maybe? And then they go, all right, that's it. And people go, where's Hughesy? Oh, no, he's not here. And they all started chanting, right. Hughesy, Hughesy. And so the owner of the pub went through the crowd with free Crown Lager, Frank Crown Lagers, handing him out. And the noise just subdued, like, Hughes. Oh,
Beer. We didn't like Hughes that much.
They wrecked the place.
Yes. I don't know if they have bands there still. It used to be a big band venue, the Alamo Hotel.
Yeah, well, all big. I remember, I think I might have seen Grinspoon there years ago. And
Grinspoon.
Heaps of bands. But,
Voodoo Surf Club used to play there.
Voodoo Surf Club, yeah. So I'm remembering now, I've remembered where I first met you.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure, I don't know if Brad was there, we went and did the Moorabbark Footy Club.
It was a cricket club.
Cricket club?
Yeah.
And they said, a local guy, Evan, wants to get up and do some stand-up.
Yeah.
Now, normally, when you're going to a cricket or footy club in the burbs, the outer burbs, when they say that, it's normally a bloke gets up with blackface or something like that and does racial jokes or plays the guitar and has changed words from, you know, to racist stuff.
Or they've got a dog called Sparkles.
They've got a dog called Sparkles. But you got up and you were great. And I remember saying to you, so were you there, Brad?
Yeah.
Yeah, and Des as well.
And Des Dowling, the great Des Dowling. We were saying, this guy's pretty funny. It's pretty good.
What's happened?
Well, that was the peak of your career.
Yeah, that was it. That was it.
But you make a living now as a comic.
Yeah, so I sort of focused on, I sort of grew up around footy clubs, sporting clubs. And you know, you guys do a lot of those. There's a market there.
But me and Brad never played sport, but we...
Beg your pardon.
Oaks, he's told me about his under-13 forward pocket exploits.
I played basketball.
Back, thank you very much.
Oh, full back, was it?
I was basketball and BMX.
I played a bit of basketball.
Yeah,
basketball. I was 3 points off meeting Michael Jordan.
What do you mean?
I played in 1995. It was like a Gatorade 3-on-3 tournament. So I played that. With a couple of mates. I was under 14s because I used to play like Kilsyth Cobras and things like that.
They're very good, the Kilsyth Cobras.
Oh, yeah, rep ball on a Friday. anyway, so we played in a 3-on-3 comp. We dyed our hair green.
We're
called the X-Men. We cut X's. X's, yeah, I was Wolverine.
What?
We cut X's, like shaved X's into the back of our heads, and it was a big tournament down at St Kilda Beach. In like 1995, and it got blown out. There was a massive storm, so they moved it to Sandringham Stadium.
Of course.
And we ended up winning the Melbourne part of it. And
you just intimidated every other kid there with your green hair.
Well, we were the X-Men, mate. Yeah.
His metal fingers.
Yeah.
So slice the ball.
Yeah, slice the ball.
Yeah. We went through a few balls. Anyway, so we won that, and they ended up playing the final against WA, South Australia. There was a New Zealand team in front of the Opera House. Mm. And we lost to WA in the grand final by 3 points. And the trip was all sponsored by Gatorade and that, to go meet Michael Jordan.
Oh.
And we're 3 points off it, and I've never lived it down.
No, you've never forgotten that.
No. It's, yeah.
Oh, how heartbreaking.
So, yeah,
you.
So what I did with the gigs, I thought, well... there's a market here, so I went and bought all my sound equipment.
Well, you're a self-starter.
Oh, yeah. lighting equipment.
Jim's Moaning.
Yeah. You got your face painted on the side of your trailer.
Yeah, Jim's comedians.
Evo's comedians.
Rock up. Yeah, we do it all.
Yeah, but now you work quite a few times a week.
Yeah, so I try to create your own work, as you know. When no one knows who you are, you've got to create your own work.
And so, did you do the open mic rooms? Because most people do raw comedy, they do the open mic rooms. Did you do some of them? Or?
Yeah. I still do those during the weeks. And I started at the open mics. And but what I'd do, with the sporting club gigs, I'd book an MC, headline and support, and I just sort of jump up and do like 10.
Until you
sort of build your material, and then I MC a lot of those now.
Yeah.
Or do the support and
or headline yourself, whatever.
Oh yeah, just yeah. They don't go that well.
Yeah, that's it. That, you know, in a way, it's a very blue collar approach to comedy.
Yeah.
Because you're from Moorabbin, which is very similar to where I grew up. It would have been a classic working class / lower middle class suburb.
Yeah.
And a lot of you... Did you do a trade or...?
Yeah, I've done... My first trade was landscape gardening.
Oh, hang on. You've done several trades.
I've done a few.
What?
So landscape gardening was my first one.
Yeah.
I smell a bit of jail here.
That's
why I moved to Port Douglas.
Yeah,
I was in Darwin first.
Inverted commas, Port Douglas.
Yeah, Port Douglas.
Yeah. The clink.
Yeah. The clink. Yeah. Right. You're doing prison gigs. Right.
So landscape gardening, I did that first, and
what do you learn in a landscape gardening trade?
Wow.
How to mow the lawn.
Yeah. Well, Don Burke had a touch, but let's not go there. Oh. No, they're gardeners, not landscape gardeners.
Oh, they're different.
Yeah, gardeners are the freaks.
They're the creepy ones.
Landscape gardeners are the hard asses.
They're normally well-tanned guys. I've done landscape gardening gigs before.
Yeah, well, I've got red hair and freckles. I picked two pretty bad jobs. Landscape gardening.
So how long did you do landscape gardening for?
I did that for 5-6 years.
Yeah. It's good when you're young.
Yeah, it was great. Oh, it's fit as.
It gets harder to be on the tools when you're 40 or 50.
I've done a bit of it now, helping a mate out. It's brutal.
Is your other trade pool boy?
Well, that's a trade.
Is that fixing pools a trade?
Nah, you're a pool...
Pool technician.
Yeah.
Learn in a week.
Mate, unblocking a filter. My dad used to do that. Made him very angry.
Mate, it's very technical.
What was the other trade?
Sprinkler fitting, like fire protection.
Oh.
So if you go to... You see buildings, there's sprinklers in the roof. So technically, I'm a firefighter.
Really?
I'm Robin Ince, and welcome to Your Universe. As you may know, there are other universes available, but you're in this one, and you're in the universe where there is an Infinite Monkey Cage book written by me and Professor Brian Cox.
The book is called How to Build Our Universe, specifically this one, although in the book we do discuss the possibility of multiple universes. We also explain why it is impossible for ghosts to exist, why space exploration is a wonderful thing, and we finish the book, I think, rightly, with the apocalypse.
The end of everything. Buy it now.
Well, we've had a bit of a technology problem. The card is full, so we're recording the rest of this podcast on Evan's phone. Thanks, Evan.
No worries.
That's welcome back to the debrief.
Seamless. And don't run over these people.
Nah, it was in high vis. How do we miss it?
Now, we're talking about your second trade, which was...
Sprinkler fitting. And...
Sprinkler on the roof.
Do we get that in? I don't know.
I don't know.
What I was saying is, well, technically, I was a firefighter. Because we put the sprinklers in the roof. And before the firemen get there and take all the glory, get all the calendars and that, we're saving lives.
You're heroes.
First response.
That's right.
Right. So, but as I was saying, which before we were cut off, that it's quite unusual to find a tradesman... an ex-tradesman in comedy these days. Used to be more common, like back in the 80s and 90s, but these days, they're more like ex-teachers, union organiser like Brad in the Back, and then all for the wealthier kids, they were like lawyers and stuff.
Yeah. Do you know any other dive instructors who were comedians?
You were a diving instructor?
Well, yeah, that's what I did.
See, for a minute there, I thought you were a driving instructor.
No, I'm a terrible driver.
Are you qualified in that as well?
I'm a qualified dive instructor. Well, I'm probably not now because I haven't renewed my license. But yeah,
well, you did leave that couple on the Barrier Reef and drive
yeah.
off.
Yeah, shit went a bit pear-shaped.
It's pretty. Should have made jokes about that.
Pretty hard to get gigs.
How did that? What happened with that case? You're a former diving instructor.
Yeah, ladies.
Were you just trying to get some action? Pool cleaner.
Nah.
Excuse me. Do you have to be a dive instructor to clean a pool?
But I took it seriously. Pools. I took it seriously.
How deep are the pools?
With that, I don't know what happened. I think what might have happened. Well, because what you do when you're on the boat, because I did a decky stuff as well for the dive boats.
Oh, yeah.
So you do a head, you mark off everyone as they get on. When the divers go in, yeah, obviously. They jump in and then you're doing a set time. So
you count them, basically.
You do that's a head count.
Head count,
It's like when you're on a bus.
So you just go from sprinklers to... You're safety.
Yeah, you're into safety. You love sprinklers, you love... And so what do you reckon they just didn't do the head count properly?
Well, they've stuffed up the head count. Then they've got back and they've gone, oh, shit.
There could have been some Tasmanian people that screwed up the whole
thing. Oh.
Boom,
two heads.
Yeah.
Interesting. So how did you get... That's really interesting that someone like you would get into comedy. Because at least with teaching, you're in front of people talking.
Yeah.
I suppose diving instructing.
But also, you're a footy captain.
Yeah.
Oh, you're a footy captain?
I was a captain.
Yeah, so he's a leader.
Of what team?
I was a captain of the Port Douglas Crocs. Up there in far north Queensland.
So I'm picking that the gene pool for footy's not that big up there, so...
thanks, mate.
Full of blokes on the run.
Yeah, full of, yeah.
Yeah. So they're hard to control, and they needed someone who was a strong leader.
People may not know this, but your brother played for Essendon.
Yeah, he did.
Because he tells everyone.
He looks like you. He was in the first. He was like a genuine AFL player.
Yeah, he played for 12 years, and he's unemployed at the moment.
But he was in the team that had all the stuff injected in them, wasn't he?
Yeah, and that's when he really went through a growth spurt.
Did he have a trade fallback on?
No.
Did he have a trade fallback?
No, he started doing like an electrical apprenticeship, but you just don't have enough time when you can't do the hours.
So that, you know, that's always interesting about AFL players is that I was talking to Robert Murphy, a good friend of mine.
Clang.
former Bulldog. Anyway, I did a gig with him, and he was saying that he retired. He was 34. And it's like, well, what do you do now? And that's, you know, most people retire when they're 65, not when they're 30.
I retired at 27.
You're still doing comedy, mate. Right?
No, I retired at 27 and got on my super. And then 3 weeks later, I went back to work. But for 3 weeks...
I retired.
I was quite wealthy.
Because it must be quite a phenomenon of AFL players that struggle to cope post-career.
As my brother said, it's 12 years. He did it for 12 years. And, you know, for those 12 years, you know, you've got a contract. You know what it changes.
Yeah, they look after you. You've got to work 5-6 days a week.
Get your hair done.
Solarium.
You know what you're going to wear?
Dr. Stanks, or his name, he's injecting you every day.
Go see Danky.
Danky.
Shorts.
Danky. They all called him Danky.
Danky. Danky. Bit of Spanky from Danky.
So you know what's happening. And then all of a sudden they go, nah, you're delisted. His payment stopped on the 31st of October. And all of a sudden you got to... So he's doing a bit of everything. He bakes his own bread.
Bullshit.
He loves it.
He bakes his own bread.
Yeah. Well, he did work experience in his year off with Adrian Richardson, one of the celebrity chefs.
Oh.
So Richo, he's got.
And he learned in a year. He learned how to bake bread.
He's a slow learner.
Is he going to play like often those guys then go play in the country?
Nah, he wants to stay in the system, so he's playing VFL.
Playing VFL.
So for the Bombers.
Oh, cool.
And he's done a bit of landscaping.
Because often the club...
Yeah, we love digging shit up.
Often they stay in the club, don't they, if they can?
Yeah, he applied for a job as a junior developer, like maybe working with the younger guys. But, you know, I think with that you need... you got to do courses and
police records.
People have to working with children,
drug free.
Stacked up against him in the end, but
yeah,
you did a bit of work for your dad too, didn't you, Ev?
Dad was Willy Wonka. He owns a lolly. Mum and Dad own a lolly factory.
What?
Called Regal Sweets out in Bayswater.
They own Regal Sweets.
Yeah, but they're winding it down.
Why are they winding down? What sort of lollies do they make?
Well, they make yogurt frogs. They make chocolate frogs. But they sort of get lollies and chocolate bars in, and then take it out to hospitals.
And what they do is they rebadge them.
Yeah, as Cadbury. Regal Sweets.
Right.
Yeah. So we're trying to undermine Cadbury and.
You might have seen them cut Barry.
Well, you know Cadbury took Daryl Lee to court over the colour purple.
Really?
Yeah. They tried to sue them and said that we own the colour purple, and they lost the case because the judge said, you can't own purple, mate.
A colour.
You've been to a hippie.
Unless you're one of the Wiggles.
Yeah, you've been.
Prince.
Prince, exactly.
Yeah.
You've been to a hippie
or
convention.
Grimace owns Grimace.
Was based on a thick shake.
Was he?
Yeah, well, they were all
what
based
it tastes
on...
like?
He was based on a... I looked this up once, and it took a lot of research, because Grimace was originally... There was a green Grimace.
Green.
Based on a mint thick shape, but he was based on a grape-flavoured thick shape.
Yeah,
Dave, do you think it's fair to say research when you mean you read the piece of paper off top of the tray?
Yeah.
And the dumpers. I mean, because I know how fries get made.
Yeah, from reading the paper on the tray.
They come from Tasmania.
Well, how long have your parents had a lolly factory for?
Well, they bought that. Dad bought the factory without Mum knowing. I was maybe four, so this might have been 1986. Cast your mind back.
Yeah, I remember. I just finished uni. Yeah,
and Dad was a mechanic. Oh, no, he was older.
Retired.
He was home tune.
Oh,
he was
a home tune?
Yeah, he did home tune. And, I was a bit older, maybe six or seven. And he just bought a company... It's called our Carib Collection originally.
Oh, Carib shit.
Yeah, it's shit ass.
Imagine him bringing home those frogs the first day. You're like, oh my God,
no
chocolate frogs, Dad.
Oh, they're
Carib. No wonder he didn't tell your mum.
Yeah.
You haven't bought Carib?
No. So he just bought that. See, I bought a business. And they turned it, they ended up going on their own and called it Regal Sweets.
I'm sure I've eaten Regal Sweets. I've eaten a lot of lollies.
They're still in some.
I've eaten a lot of lollies.
At some stage, you would have eaten a Regal Sweet.
Well, you know, I went to the dentist after about 5 years and he goes, do you eat lollies and drink soft drink? I'm like, wow, are you a psychic? He's like, no, I'm a dentist.
You were the face of Regal Lollies, right?
Oh, man, I would love to be the face. You know, I was the face of fat, which people... I used to be the face of an oil company, the fish and chip oil.
Right.
Yeah, I posed for photos and I went on a tour of the oil factory.
Yeah,
and I used to be on their newsletter, Dave O'Neill, the face of fat.
Why have I never heard of this?
Oh, you never heard of this?
Tour of the oil factory.
Yeah, I went on a tour of the oil factory. And it's really disturbing because, you know, these days there's a trend to cook in vegetable fat as opposed to animal fat.
Yeah.
But at least animal fat is actual. And there was a yellow line down the factory. One side was animal fat, the other side was vegetable fat, like with a yellow line. And vegetable fat is not actually vegetables, it's seed, it's canola, seed oil, which your body doesn't really know how to break down, whereas animal fat, at least, like McDonald's used to cook in animal fat.
Right.
And now when you go into an old school fish and chip shop, I can smell, because I'm experienced in fat, I can smell the difference.
Well, you
were the face of fat. I was the face of fat.
And you still are.
Oh, it's the rest of the body.
You're the rest of the body. The body of fat.
Yeah,
So how long did you have the lolly factory for, your dad?
Well, they've still got it, but they're just winding it down because they've moved down to Rosebud. And
how many Oompa Loompas do they employ?
Oh, well, they had three. We used to work on a Sunday.
You used to work in the lolly factory?
Well, not work, more just steal lollies.
Oh.
I remember my brother, he would have been like three... four just handfuls of raspberries and just every Sunday when they were flat out.
I went on a tour of the Cadbury factory. I did a gig for them and I said, I'll only do the gig if I can come for a tour of your factory. And it was amazing. It was like Willy Wonka.
Yeah. Like, so this isn't...
You're a small operation.
Very small operation.
How many factories have you toured?
When I was a kid, because my dad was a trades teacher, we would go on holidays to Albury Wodonga.
That's in your book.
Yeah, it's in my book, Wollongong. And we would go on tours of factories, but they were not glamorous. They were dog food.
Yeah, that's where you got the bug.
Yeah, Borg Warner. They made parts. And we went on the Stanley screwdriver factory tour in Nunawading. We were in Scouts.
I went to the Yakult factory.
Oh, Yakult?
In high school.
Was that interesting?
It was. Never drank Yakult, but no. It was interesting. We got a free bottle.
Yeah.
A little bottle.
Factories?
Because they're in little bottles.
Yeah, I remember when Yakult came out.
I used to do that.
Return. I reckon that must be bad for the environment, having all those little bottles too.
I don't reckon it's good.
Nah.
Look, you're listening to The Debrief with Evan Hocking and Brad Oakes in the back seat.
Yeah. I'm running next to the car.
Hit stop. Can you stop it there?
Oh, yeah.
How long is
that? That's still going. Yep.
You went to the bra.
Okay. We're not going to talk about any more factories,
all
right?
You went to the bra factory, didn't you?
The bra factory. It's traumatizing. Factories were good to go to as a teenager because it put you off working in one, I reckon. And you just went.
Yeah, but you did.
I worked in a factory, yeah.
You worked in an ice cream factory?
Oh, yeah, where we stole the ice cream and they had an investigation.
Dave couldn't burp in front of the cops.
I left the door open, the side door, and I came back at night with my brothers and we just ate all the ice cream.
Like, how much did you...
Half a tub each.
the FBI were called in.
Because this was back in the... This would have been the 70s when you only really got Neapolitan at home. You got... chocolate, vanilla, and strawberry.
Yep.
And this was like American made ice cream, was called, and they had blueberry bubble gum. And the guy running the factory where I used to work wouldn't let us eat the ice cream.
No, that's fair enough.
That's fair enough. You had a job to do, and they were building.
Don't shit where you work, mate.
Yeah, fridges. Well,
that's what's it called.
Yeah, don't eat where you shit, my friend.
Yeah.
And then, I felt very, spiteful towards this factory, so I left the door open and went back at night. And then...
And it all melted.
No, we just ate it. We're back on The Debrief with Evan Hocking and Brad Oakes, and I've got some questions I ask everyone, Evan.
Yep.
These are proper debrief questions. What went well tonight and why?
What went well tonight? I think, as a show, the whole thing ran well, ran smooth.
Yeah.
Oaksy was good up top.
He was the MC.
MCing.
Didn't swear.
Didn't swear at all. I swore.
No, it was because we weren't quite sure who it was gonna. Who it was gonna be for?
Yeah, we didn't know, but it was just basically.
It was a mix of older and
younger.
It was a real.
The mayor.
The mayor, councillors.
Who they were very friendly in the interval. They came and talked to us. Yeah. Then we didn't see them at the end.
So they weren't happy with me, maybe.
I think they were. Having some counselling.
So I think the whole dynamic of the show
work well
with the tiered seating.
Yeah, it's a good theatre they've got out there in Narrabri. Very nice. What didn't go well?
They probably could have had some music before.
Depressing.
I mean, not that it didn't. I don't think it really.
No.
But it didn't get them in the mood.
No, it made it harder for me.
It made it hard. For Oaks, so did that shirt.
Yeah, he's wearing a Hawaiian shirt. Were there any organisational hazards that got in the way?
I don't think so.
There seemed to be a lot of people hanging around escorting us. You know how when we normally go to a gig, we do it all ourselves?
Yeah.
But there were people in uniforms.
Did it make you feel special or a bit
like I was in prison.
I reckon there was at least
the jumpsuits.
People.
It was a bit weird.
How many people?
16 people.
Yeah, working
just
there.
Dedicated to what we were doing.
Yeah, the
guy who came in and wiped my ass, I thought, come on, guys. I think we've taken this
too
a bit far.
You got
Jesus
too far.
Christ.
He was a fan.
Big fan. How can we do better next time?
Myself, I reckon I probably didn't relax until maybe 7 or 8 minutes in. I just felt a bit...
Which was bad, because you only need 8 minutes.
Yeah.
Bang.
Yeah, now I probably, about 7 or 8 minutes in, I started loosening up a bit, getting a bit more animated.
I think... They wanted it basically a clean show. They did stress that.
I felt I was maybe holding back. I'm not really dirty, but maybe some jokes that emphasise a bit of swearing or something like that.
Yeah.
Probably. I reckon myself. Would have loosened up.
Loosened up, man.
Yeah.
But you've only been going 5 years. You've got to catch yourself a break. You're doing well, Evan.
Yeah, man.
You're doing well.
Yeah.
You're in the car with two comedy legends.
If I don't make this, I'm back to pool cleaning or dive instructing. I've got heaps of options.
In fact, if you can combine them all to be a dive instructor and install sprinklers in swimming pools.
What other job? Oh, I worked
at the garden.
I worked at bar manager. I was bar manager.
Bar manager.
Yeah. Oh, everyone can see.
Cocktail.
I was doing a bit of cocktail work.
Yeah. I can see you doing that.
A flair bartending.
Where was that?
That was at a resort called Silky Oaks.
Oh.
Out past. It was in the middle of the rainforest.
My nickname.
Silky Oaks in the back seat.
Okay. They named it after you, yeah. So now, it was in the middle of the rainforest, lovely. Or just the forest on a good day.
I assume we're talking about Port Douglas, not Moorabbin.
No, definitely not Moorabbin. No. Anything in a forest ends up pretty badly.
Yeah, you know, we got the forest at
Moorabbin. Yeah.
Okay, now, I normally drop a song in here at the end. What song do you want to play, mate? Because you're a bit of a music fan.
Yeah, I love...
I heard you talking to Richo, the football player.
Yeah, he was... I saw him at...
Friends Will Wrong.
Friends Will Wrong.
Well, I love Friends Will Wrong.
Oh, they were great. Yeah, they were my favourite band. They're my favourite band ever. I first heard them on a bodyboarding video. I was into bodyboarding in 1997. Then I got into surfing. Say 95, and the first song I heard was Suburban Mail by Friends Were Wrong.
I miss my lung.
Yeah.
You're a genius, a fucking genius. I love their attitude.
Oh man, they rip piss.
We Are Going Out Tonight. That's a great song.
We're Going Out Tonight.
We Are Going Out Tonight.
Their new album's good.
Do they do their hits like when they play live?
Well, they play a bit of a mix. Well, they got, as I said, every song goes for about 45 seconds.
Yeah, true.
But so they've got 350 songs.
What's the origin of their name?
Friends Are Wrong.
To be honest, I'm not sure.
You're a fan and you've never...
I've never really written a letter to them.
Have you ever met any Friends Are Wrong? I've met the
doctor. Yeah, I've met them.
Yeah, the doctor's good.
Doctor,
we used to do it on radio, Jay.
Gordy. I've got photos with a few of them and stuff like that. Well, it's good now with social media. You can sort of tweet them and stuff like that.
Yeah. Let's hear some Friends Are Wrong. What song?
What can we play? Can we play anything on this?
Anything, yeah, anything.
Well, 45 seconds, why don't you play a couple?
we'll play a couple. Maybe we'll get one off there. Do
the classic. We've got a classic.
All right, we'll do the classic. What about Punch in the Face?
Punch in the Face.
Yeah, I love it. That's a classic. We'll play that.
Evan Hocking, thanks for coming on the debrief.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
And Evan's on Twitter. What's your handle, man?
Evan under... What's the hash one? Underscore Hocking.
Say it again.
Evan _ Hocking.
And if you're running a sporting club and you need a comedy night, get in contact with Evan Hocking.
I've got the gear. If you got a pool...
Or a sprinkler.
You got a pool, let us know. It's coming into summer.
What do you think about diving? You want to do a comedy on your sporting club and you need to be taught diving with a sprinkler.
A bit of landscaping.
Evan Hocking.
I'll bring me brother's bread.
Oh, if you want to meet a former Essendon star.
Yeah. We'll do it all. We'll do sporting nights. My brother and me.
Yeah.
With a bit of bread.
And me and Oaksy, you know.
Oh, yeah. So you played a bit of VFL footy yourself.
Reported for pissing on the ground.
What?
Yeah.
It's an Aussie tradition.
Am I taking up too much time?
Not at all. We got a long way back.
Well, what happened was...
Were you just doing a sprinkler?
I was out at Moorabbin.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was a practice game. There was no one really there. And I was busting. I was on the bench, which was a lot of my time at Port Melbourne.
Yeah, sad.
Anyway, so I ran round past the goals... to the other side of the ground where no one was, and like I said, because you couldn't run back to the change rooms because they were miles away. And you thought if the coach says get Hocking on, where is he? He's in the dunny. You couldn't do that. So I went around the other side of the ground with a mate. We did that hip flexor stretch.
You guys, you're talking to the wrong guys.
I've seen it.
So you're on your knee, one leg up, and you sort of hang your massive penis out.
Right.
Well, not mine. Out the shorts, and you just wee on the ground.
Yeah.
You know, like, there was no one there, but the goal umpire, she reported us. She said we exposed ourselves, and we definitely didn't do that. We had a meeting with the Port Melbourne footy. We were going to get sacked.
Really?
Yeah. They said if we find out that, they said no.
You're just having a wee. People do it a quarter time.
Yeah, I don't know if they do it much anymore.
Probably not.
Technically, with the cops, that's indecent exposure.
It is. But like I said, yeah, it was nothing malicious or anything. It was just, yeah.
No, you just need to go to the toilet.
Just have to go to the toilet. But, probably not the greatest.
You do piss a lot.
Yeah, you wee a lot.
I drink a lot of water.
Yeah, very healthy, very hydrated.
Yeah.
Don't wee on the ground.